I am officially calling the ANC 1D Commissioners Meeting of April 21st, 2009 to order. The time is 7:02 according to my watch. We'll start off, we're ready with the Secretary's report. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, let's note who is present.
Yes, I forgot. Commissioners present, McKay, Lepanto, Bosserman, Scott, and Edwards. We will now proceed with the Secretary's report.
Secretary's report, minutes of the March 17 meeting and minutes of the April 7th meeting have been distributed. Are there any corrections to either? No corrections, and I will consider them both to be accepted. And that's it for the Secretary's report.
Treasurer's report?
May I propose at this time, as a matter of courtesy, that we take up the unfinished business concerning the BZA application so that Mr. Barnes here in the audience can receive his approbation from the ANC and then go on and do something more constructive and listen to us.
Okay, so we're going to the first topic under unfinished business. Is that what you said? Commission showing no objections, then we will proceed.
This is the motion that was tabled at the last meeting. Resolved that ANC1D advises the Board of Zoning Adjustment to approve application number 17919 for 3150 17th Street Northwest, increasing lot coverage to 88.7%, decreasing the rear yard depth to 16 feet to allow a rear addition on an existing building. Commissioner David Bosserman or his designee is authorized to present this report to the Board.
You read the rationale?
The rationale, ANC1D has reviewed the plans and has neither issues nor concerns with the proposed zoning variance.
Get a second.
At this point, it's been...
Oh, that's right, because we just tabled.
It's just a matter of further discussion and then a vote.
Okay, discussion.
The depth of the rear addition is 16 feet, and the yard would be 4 feet.
Assuming this works.
I was going to say, as a technical point, the language should be depth by 16 feet rather than to 16 feet.
Okay. Thank you for that correction. The structure would be more than that's your front yard.
Okay, I move the vote.
The discussion. We have the vote. All those in favor? Okay, 5-0 in favor. Okay, now are we backing up?
Yeah, now we can go back to the Treasurer's report.
Okay, I'll wait till after you finish because I have a question.
That's
not a question, it's a... you guys call it a friendly amendment when you're amending something, so this is a friendly consideration. Instead of the word language, want no objections, could we change that to should be no objections? It's the wording there, want no objections to the following payments.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. You're ahead of me there. Now, let me go back to my treasurer's report. Mr. Chairman, please.
I'm sorry. I thought I was still at the Treasury report. Excuse me. Okay.
Sorry, you didn't do a little housework here. A little housekeeping.
We also often have the public discussion before we get into all this. That's the normal way of doing it.
Note that at 7:08, Oliver has arrived. Okay, now may I proceed with the Treasurer's report?
What does the Commission want to do? You want to proceed with the Treasurer's report or you want to back up for the open discussion?
Open discussion.
Works for me.
Okay. We're now at the open discussion of our meeting for the audience.
Please, as a commission, I'm going to read this. Over the years, the ANC commission...
This is Dora Johnson.
My name is Dora Johnson. I live on Newton Street. Over the years, the ANC commissioners have submitted many resolutions that affect the Mount Pleasant area. Although well-intentioned, many of these resolutions have been brought to a vote without real public discussion. They are sometimes debated within the business meeting of the ANC itself without public input, and the votes have impacted the lives of Mount Pleasant residents without their knowledge until the resolution has gone too far to rescind it. The most recent resolution affects the unzoned streets of Newton, Monroe, Ingleside, and the part of 19th Street. At least that's where I'm interested at the moment. The fact that the resolution by this ANC was made in March 2008, this resolution was not made public until recently. I am not here to debate whether the proposed zoning is right or wrong. However, I am requesting that beginning immediately, no resolution be voted by the commissioners until each has had a chance to be publicly debated. There are several ways this can happen. The ANC has kindly decided to have a non-business public meeting each month. It can post the resolutions on its website and alert the public through the signs that are posted to the meetings and allow for input via that venue. It can send them out via the Yahoo Groups list and ask for comment. It can print them and have them available at all meetings until the resolution has come to a vote. I am submitting the same memo to Councilman Jim Graham's office, whereas I, and I'm sure many others, are grateful for your service. The time has come for the commissioners to be more responsible in making resolutions that affect our community more public than it has in the past. Thank you. I'm asking that this memo be included in the minutes of the meeting today. Beyond that, I went on the website today just to kind of get a sense as to what has been being discussed by the public. And the public meetings seem to be a pat on the head. We had a nice discussion by the public was the last meeting. I find that kind of a little odd that the topics that the community brings to you elected commissioners does not get posted. At least the topics that should be listed so that we can start some kind of community discussion. Anyway, I'm just asking for a democratization of this process. Thank you. Would you like this?
May I just a brief comment? Dora, you will find the topics that were submitted for discussion tonight on our website.
Not this afternoon. By the time I looked at the website, there was nothing that was on it.
It's there.
There was only a list of the meeting times with bright red, colorful, whatever. Now, if you're going to do them at 6:30 at night or 6 o'clock in the evening, that's not going to help those of us working people to be able to check that before you come. It seems to me agenda items should be submitted at least 48 hours.
I wasn't entertaining a debate.
Well, know me, but the computer, the recording does not. I'm Faye Armstrong, president of Historic Mount Pleasant. I understand at the meeting last month, which I was not able to attend because I had another engagement, that there was discussion about the replacement of the sign, the Heller's historic wall sign, with a modern mural of some description. And it may have even been stated that the proponent of said mural, namely my neighbor Byron Peck, had discussed this with me and that I had no objection. He, in fact, had raised it with me when I'm gardening. As many of you know, I'm frequently out in front of the house gardening, I see Byron several times a week in that context. And my failure to express an opinion doesn't necessarily mean that I don't have one. Since that time, I have done some research, and I've looked into regulations and looked into the history of the sign. And I just want to put on the record, I have a couple. The Heller sign is indeed a historic sign. It was originally, I have here a couple of copies of the original permit. It was painted first at a height of 5 feet only by 20 feet wide in 1947, permit in May of 47. I'm still looking for the permit, which may have been in the 50s, to expand it to the full height of the wall. And I have a request of the DC Archives to get access to some numbers that may give me that information. Under the rules of... We're a historic district, as we all in this room know. Historic Preservation Office has prepared some signage regulations which have been referred to the board for adoption. They've not yet been adopted, but the signage regs that are on their website, in fact, codify existing practice. And you can see there easily that... The Heller sign would qualify as an historic sign that should be retained and restored at the appropriate time. I haven't quite cleared this with the Historic Mount Pleasant Board, but I think that we are going to offer the owner of the building a HMP challenge grant of 50% of the cost of the restoration of that historic sign. Anyway, that's just for your information.
May I respond to that?
Yeah.
The discussion here concerning the Heller's mural was strictly informal.
That's fine.
The ANC has taken no action. The ANC has taken no action. I do have a resolution on the topic this evening, but it is very noncommittal about what would replace the existing mural. So there's a long way to go between now and deciding on what we are going to, what we would do with that building.
Oh, and the other thing, just on the record, the other thing is here are, got two copies of the permit and the application from 47, just for your information. I'll give one to Greg as the, I think, the representative of that single-member district, and one for Jack, just for the record. If you look in Mara's book on page 81, there's a picture of the this ball sign from 1961, and it would appear that what I'm really looking for right now is a permit that will confirm the expansion of the 1947 sign to what we see in this book, which may well have, which I'm assuming was a permitted thing during the 50s. Anyway, that's just background and information for you all to take in.
Any further public discussion?
Hello, my name is Tariq Bolden from the D.C. Office of Planning. I come to just simply let everyone know, if you've heard, that we're having a public meeting tomorrow to invite the ANC personally to this public meeting about the future of Mount Pleasant. We're doing a revitalization plan. We want the opportunity for the ANC to voice their opinion on this. It'll be at Bell Lincoln School from 7 to 9. 7 to 8:30. I put a built-in a little bit of a cushion room just in case we run over a little bit. I have flyers with us, and I'm also going to remain for the rest of the meeting if there are any questions when the ANC gets to that topic. But I just wanted to let everyone know that I was here, and if you have any questions, just go ahead and ask. Thank you.
Great.
Tariq, I want you to, if you haven't heard, I am so appreciative of your energy and enthusiasm you put into this, even though we may have dire conflicts about the way the Office of Planning is doing it. That you were one of the three members of the Office of Planning that I mentioned in my testimony yesterday as exemplary public servants.
Any further public discussion? Anything the commissioners want to respond to thus far? Okay, so that closes our public discussion and we're moving on with the treasurer's report.
Okay. We still haven't heard back about our audit, which is still, and I'm sure the auditor is busy with more important things than our audit. Craig has a question.
Okay. Either you got to lean up when you put your hand up because I can't see you behind me, Greg.
This, huh? I attended and eventually testified the oversight hearings of the D.C. auditor yesterday in the council chambers about 10:30 to 11:30. 80% of the discussion was about the auditor's role with the ANCs. In particular, Gray represented what I thought he was saying was the spirit of the council, that they find it unpleasant or unsuitable that there's over $1 million in the bank accounts of the various ANCs. The annual allotment of ANCs is about $800,000. And the cost of the auditor, just for the direct oversight function, not the other offices or overhead, is $400,000. So there was quite a bit of discussion about, are ANCs really doing their job? And and once again, we heard that a sense that the council is going to perhaps seize the money if we get into a further financial emergency, or something will be done on this. I thought this might be of interest to the commission. I did testify and say that their approach of just taking money of the amount of expenditures is the wrong way to look at it, because it does not give any value to the time of commissioners, volunteer time of commissioners. And so if they look at it purely as expenditures, that's setting to zero our time.
Okay.
To continue, we owe Tony Grillo $100 for doing postering, and Lena Parikh $550 for her work on grants. And I had intended to do checks before coming to this meeting, but of course it slipped my mind. It happens when you're a bit advanced years. I assume there is no objection to my making those two payments. Hearing no objection. I would like also to spend $25 to increase the memory in this little laptop, which has got only a quarter gig and doesn't work very well. I assume there's no objection to that.
What would it cost to fill it up?
The $25 will buy me another gigabyte of RAM, and that's ample.
Okay.
I assume that that's approved. Quarterly report. This is something we have to approve now because it's due to the auditor before our next meeting. I have distributed these numbers. Trying to bring up the spreadsheet, but okay. This is the cover sheet I provide with the financial. I'm trying to set a standard for improved delivery of data to the auditor. So I provide everything on a CD, everything electronic, and a cover document, which includes the necessary forms, the spreadsheets, images of checks, bank statements, invoices, receipts, and meeting minutes. I think we're the only ANC that goes to this kind of detail. Give me another control there. Trying to get the spreadsheet up this time. This is the one that has to be signed off on. Okay, this is the quarter report for the second quarter of FY09, which is the first quarter of this calendar year. And basically, we started off with $52,000. We did not spend an awful lot because, of course, our checking account was paralyzed for a fair portion of this period. $1,800 for services, that's the principal expenditure. Let's see. Those are the checks that have been written. This is the division by according to whom. As you can see, virtually all of our expenditures have been to individuals for their services. And bottom line is, at the end of the quarter, we have $50,000 in the bank, and the accounting does indeed balance. This is something which I would like to have the chairperson sign off on this evening.
I move approval.
Second.
Vote.
All those in favor? And I'd just like to say, Jack, I think we're the only ANC that's just this detailed, because we're the only ANC that has Jack McKay. And
well,
thank you for all of this. Greg?
Another piece that came up, and this is the proposal from Chairman, Council Chairman Gray, and in response to discussion about why is it so difficult to deal with ANCs.
Oh, Greg, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Let the record show that that was a 6-0 vote in favor.
Good. And the auditor said only a few ANCs are doing an exemplary job, and they have quite a few malefactors. And so Gray proposed that the council asked her opinion about the council change its budget for ANCs, which is under the Committee of the Whole, and provide a substantial bonus for those ANCs that are good stewards of the public's money. Just let me slip in another item. He also, because I testified about to try to give a better perspective of ANCs, it's not just bad boys and huge wastrels of public money. He noted that, by the way, this was in response to our testimony by James Orr and myself last year, that the council come into compliance with the law, the ANC law, and start to respond to our resolutions. And at that time, he was pretty stiff about it, but he told me that the council, in response, has changed its rules, and so that now every committee, in its report, must deal with, follow the ANC law in particular. And what I heard from talking with several council staff is that this is an opportunity for us to change our strategy, and when there are the oversight or budget hearings, to start to request the committees and the council to ask them to enforce our resolutions, or at least an adequate response to our resolution. And the council can enforce our resolution even on a reluctant executive agency. And that is the suggestion of Chairman Gray and others. So I think this is a huge breakthrough.
Thank you. You're not finished yet, are you, Jack?
No, I've got to proceed to the budget because that's another. This is a legal requirement that we're required to develop a spending plan budget. Now, we're already halfway through the fiscal year, so it's a little odd to be working out a plan halfway through the year, but this is the way governments tend to work. So I have put together a budget showing this is not recommended expenditures. This is a summary of what we have spent and what we have agreed to spend. And it's a little, I find it a bit dismaying, because we have over $28,000 programmed to be spent for purchases of service. Yes, this is hard to see. Let's see if I can zoom it a bit. Yeah, that makes it hard to read the whole thing. Yeah, let me try a different zoom.
Hold down control and then scroll it around.
Whoa, he went too far. Okay, we'll live with that. That's good. Anyway, bottom line here, when I put together everything that we have spent and everything we propose to spend, is that our total disbursements for the fiscal year will total about $36,000. Our allotment for the fiscal year is about $17,000. So we're talking about a deficit of something over $18,000. This shows the plan for the personal services expenditures. You know, I try the same Zoom thing here. And this is what we have in various resolutions agreed to spend. So I'm not arguing with anything. I'm just pointing out this is what it is. I do want to emphasize this is a planning document. This is not restrictive. It doesn't prevent us from spending more in the future. It's a little awkward to spend less, since we've got resolutions agreeing to spend these amounts, but that is also a possibility. This is just a benchmark to indicate that we're spending roughly twice as much money as we actually are allotted by the D.C. government, according to our plans in this fiscal year.
In most of these cases, like for the website or for bed bugs or some of these other issues, which, by the way, accumulate to about $40,000 in my reckoning, which I will send around, we decided while we were doing it that these were capital expenditures in order for us to establish new programs, for us to achieve a new level of service, or for us to fill holes in programs. So we are, in effect, following the request of the D.C. Council to not just keep our money hanging around, but to put it to good use. And because there are capital expenditures in our conception, we need to separate the two.
I think there could be some discussion about what counts as capital investment and what counts as an operational expense. But I don't want to get into that at this time.
We did have that discussion before.
I mean specifically about what we are spending now.
Okay. I agree that it's useful for us to deal with such weighty issues.
Okay, and those issues may have to be addressed again, because this particular commission is not the commission that addressed those issues. I'd like to make that point. Phil?
Thank you. One question I have is when we have authorized a particular expenditure for a particular program, what happens when the requirements of the program exceed its allotted budget? Does the treasurer not disperse checks until the commission further authorizes additional expenditure?
That is correct.
And are there any programs currently that are over budget?
There are none.
Are there any programs that look like they may be over budget soon?
Not soon, but I think we need to keep an eye on the grants program. That's the big money consumer. Not so much for the actual grants, but for the management of the grants.
Correct.
I would like to beg to differ with all due respect with the chair, and that legally we don't have different commissions. The commission is a continuing body. so that the resolutions of, that were passed in previous years continue to hold effect.
I understand that, Commissioner. I was just saying that in respect to Phil, and I don't remember Oliver, because I remember when I came in on some of those things you guys were talking about, I had not a clue, so I was just respecting the fact that I don't think either one of them know anything about the Friars, but I understand what you say legally. Yes, the commission goes on. I was just saying that these particular bodies were not the same bodies, that's all.
And please, I agreed that these merit further discussion.
Dave.
Yeah, might I suggest that we take out the one-time costs for programs and look at a sustainable budget?
I think we would have, would we not have to have a meeting just for that, Jeff?
I think it's, in the case of the grants program, it's a little hard to distinguish what's being spent for the first time around and what will be a recurring continuing expense. It's hard to do that, but it's definitely worth doing, but it's not easy. And I wanted to raise point of dispute with a good friend, Greg, because I have considered only resolutions which have been fairly recent, like in the last year, to put together this budget. There are resolutions going back previous years with authorizations for expenditures. I did not include any of those. And in my opinion, beyond a certain point, which is indeterminate, if somebody wants to go back and refer to a resolution of more than a year ago, say, and say that this then authorizes such and such an expenditure, I think it behooves that commissioner to come back to the commission and ask for a reaffirmation that that expenditure is still authorized.
Any further discussion? Greg?
If Oliver doesn't.
What I propose is that we have an informal offline discussion where we put forth our ideas and see if we can start to match our budget to our priorities and to the kinds of issues that seem to be coming up.
Okay. Phil?
Is Commissioner Edwards suggesting that we have another meeting?
I don't think we can do so tonight, but we can start to look at it since this is just a planning document. I urge that we start to put the, as I have volunteered to do, because I am going through all of the back resolutions. I've spent 100 hours in updating the website, and it's going to take several hundred hours more to try to just find out what we've done and put it into easy form. And in this so far, I found about $40,000.
Okay. I'd like to make a suggestion that since this is, I'm sorry, did you have another question?
No, I just wanted to echo my call from earlier today on email that we do schedule a meeting where we can discuss matters such as these as well as staff issues in executive session.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion that we close the discussion on this since it's just a suggested budget and that we approve the suggested budget so we can move on. All those in favor? Oh, 6-0 in favor.
Thank you.
We're at the Commercial Corridor Committee meetings. G, you want to do that? Because I think everything's been surrounding the library, hasn't it?
Well, we consider the library as being part of the Commercial Corridor. And there is another meeting coming up on the 4th. That is being sponsored by Jim Graham. I hope that Tariq Bolden will, and the Office of Planning will start to include the library as a gateway operation in, as part of this. I'm sending you emails about that system. And it appears that we still have a very good chance of making a substantial difference. And I've submitted a resolution tonight that to clarify that the earlier resolution, and so that it can be included in the current council reports. Also, on another issue, I have been unsuccessful in scheduling a meeting with the task force that I've worked out with Jim Graham and with the Department of Consumer Affairs, Regulation Consumer Affairs, to address the Doe Bill. We have had only one informal meeting, which we couldn't get into much depth, and on that, it appears that there is a legal basis to start charging the owners of the Doeville $100,000 a day in fines, which hopefully will get their attention. On another issue, I've heard from a number of our neighbors that they're interested in the problem of getting Fios, or getting high-speed cable. And I called P&G, and they said that for the area around the commercial corridor and 16th Street, there, it is their intention to put in service to 20 megabits a second this year. And that is apparently 7 or 8 years earlier than Verizon is currently intending to do so.
Okay. So we have the I'm sorry, Dave.
I had heard a rumor that the city was or has was buying or has bought the Doe Bill. Is anyone able to confirm or deny that?
Mr. Baca, can you help us with that?
For the record, David Vaca from Councilmember Graham's office. I am not aware at this point of any plans to buy the Doe Bill, but I wouldn't rule out the possibility that it might be being discussed.
Yeah. I like those kind of comments. Any further questions or comments here? Okay, so the next issue on this agenda that I see is that the May 5th would be the informal meeting and May 19th would be the business meeting. Does anyone have a topic as yet for the informal meeting? Dave.
I had two resolutions tonight. I got an email from an esteemed resident in my area suggesting that the public be allowed to comment on them before we consider them as resolutions. One is support of the new push for statehood by both City Council and our shadow or pretend senators and congresspeople. The other is support for the second legislative push to pass enabling legislation to put the existing laws on disposal of public property, stewardship of public property, into effect.
Any other, excuse me, any other suggestions for that informal meeting? Jack?
Greg had actually suggested that we have a discussion of various bicycle route alternatives through Mount Pleasant. There are at least three different possibilities, and it might be appropriate just to have a general discussion of these possibilities.
Phil?
If possible, I would like to ask Greg to move the bike route discussion to the June meeting so that I can work with him to publicize the meeting. I really feel like 2 weeks is not a lot of time to get the cycling community geared up for a discussion.
Greg, do you have a comment?
Yes, I do. I would like to start the discussion immediately because I think that it fits into another topic that I'd like to start, which is since I do not believe that the Office of Planning's method for public engagement meet the published and researched standards, I think we should, the ANC should start to discuss it as a topic. I mean, and the the traffic patterns and bike patterns are an integral part of that. So I'd like to start the discussion to form a context and to mention and think about the role of bikes and alternative vehicles within that context.
Okay.
And that would, as I see it, that would need to go over a series of meetings.
Okay. I'm only asking for the suggestions right now at this point. So
I put in a fourth suggestion, that is that the commercial corridor redevelopment plans be included.
Okay. So, commissioners, what do you want to do? Do you want to try to do all four of the topics? Or that only gives about 20 minutes to each topic, Dave?
I don't see mine as time sensitive. So that if others think there is time sensitive or more critical, I'll defer to the next opportunity.
Well, it's just my opinion, but I think your two is not going to take that long, in my opinion. So what do you guys want to do?
I move that we put all four on the agenda, because last time we did three, including some very extensive discussions. And I think these things, if they're going to really work, have to be discussions that last over several times.
Okay.
And so we can continue for people to think about it and come back.
Okay. So we have a motion that we put all four on the table. Jack?
Can you? I'm a little bit slow tonight. Can you tell me what the fourth one is? Well, I've got a small area plan. Is that, are we talking about two different things here?
I think that we should not be prisoners of the cookie-cutter approach of the Office of Planning, and we've got to look at our function in terms of the impact on the ANC, rather than looking at it through the rather restrictive plan of the
okay.
Office.
Was that an answer to the question?
I
couldn't see it in there.
Commercial corridor is what I prefer. That's short answer.
Okay. So we got...
So you want to substitute commercial corridor for small area plan. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Now you got all four, Jack?
Well now see, it's three. It's voting rights, bike routes, and commercial corridor.
Okay.
Stewardship.
Excuse me. There was no mention of voting rights.
Oh, well, you're taking off the voting rights.
No, I never mentioned voting rights.
Well, I translated statehood to voting rights.
No, you're absolutely wrong. It doesn't matter how many votes Norton has. The gun amendment shows that Congress can do what they will until we're a state.
I think it'd be appropriate to have a discussion of all the possibilities rather than restricting it to just one.
May I suggest that since this is the initiative of Dave Wasserman, that we have exercised a little collegial respect and let the person who has initiated it name it, unless there are serious arguments.
We could call it voting rights. Who needs it?
Okay. So can we just leave it at as it is, a resolution supporting statehood for the people of the District of Columbia? Is that okay, Dave?
If my esteemed colleague wants to call it D.C. statehood, we can call it D.C. statehood.
Yeah, we can just call it statehood. We know where we live.
Okay, so we have the three topics for the informal meeting, and we have a noting of the...
Four.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Stewardship.
Back four, okay. The four meetings, four topics for the May 5th informal meeting. Let's make sure that they get posted on the website and wherever else that we're informing the public.
May I?
And Greg?
I'd like to ask, just so we're clear about it, since there has been controversy, let me try this as a resolution. I move that the four topics for our informal to be advertised as suggested topics for the informal meeting of the 5th be as follows.
But that would be public property stewardship.
Okay.
Not just any old stewardship.
Okay, public property stewardship.
Okay.
Statehood. One word. Commercial corridor. And, excuse me, I've forgotten the fourth. Like, that's part of the commercial quarter, I thought.
No.
Including, I would say, commercial quarter, including bike routes.
Well, bike routes go far beyond the commercial quarter.
I know. Plus bike routes.
Commissioners?
Let's just call it four topics and leave it at
that. We got the four topics. We don't need no resolutions to it. We got the four topics, okay?
That's how it will be advertised.
We're moving on. Make a note of the, like I said, so it gets publicly advertised in the appropriate places. Make a note that May 19th is the next business meeting. We're now in unfinished business. 3150 17th Street, BZF. I'm sorry. We did that. Thank you, Jack. Did we all not also not did we review the grants policy?
We agreed to reconsider the grants, to postpone the discussion of grants policy until this meeting.
Okay.
And I want to offer a motion that we postpone the evaluation of the grants policy until the current grants program is completed, so that we can evaluate the results of the current program before we decide what to do about a forthcoming program, grants program.
I don't even have to look, Greg.
Would you accept a friendly amendment until the program is including a fund, including a report? So I expect our staff to deliver a report on the results.
Okay, we got to discuss the wording too. So,
you want to add completion of the grant cycle and delivery of a grants report. Okay.
Do you accept that as a friendly amendment?
I certainly do.
I'm ready to vote.
Let me read this into the record. The annual review of the grants policy should take place upon completion of a grant cycle and delivery of the grants report, so that the results of the program can be assessed and taken into account in the determination of a continuation.
I'd like to suggest a friendly amendment that the report is due within 30 days of the completion of the grant cycle.
I don't think that has anything to do with our... The point here is that we will evaluate our grants policy only when the current program is complete and a report is delivered, whenever that happens.
Greg.
Since I would like to see at least one more run of the current program, I'm highly motivated to try to get things done so that we can have an announcement by September. And I hope sooner than that, if possible, so that we can not find ourselves as we did last year, with the proposals coming in the holiday season.
Okay, so we got the wording right now. No more discussion. All the commissioners, we have a hand in the audience. Do we want to see? Okay, Ms. Dora Johnson.
Question is, who is going to be evaluating these grants, and is it going to be an outside evaluator, or is this going to be a totally internal one? This is only a question.
This is the ANC review of the grants policy according to its bylaws. We are required to assess our own grants policy each year according to our bylaws. That's what this is about.
Okay. We ready to vote on this resolution? All those in favor? We have 6-0 in favor.
I think, of course, that question does beg an answer on how are we going to have the grants evaluated.
Well, yes, it does. So I guess we'll have a decision on, we'll accumulate how that's going to be at another time. All right, so we're on to the DDOT reply to ANC.
Well, let's take, Phil brought up a request for a business card authorization. That would be real quick.
Or what, I'm sorry?
Business card authorization.
Business card?
He wants business cards.
So. Oh, you mean the little things that say who
we
are?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, Lord,
yeah,
thank you.
Nobody knows Phil, so he needs help.
Okay.
Actually, I point out that this was already passed.
We had one from some time ago. Again, I think it's appropriate that a new commission reassess it rather than going back to something years ago and saying what we did 3 or 4 years ago is still valid today.
Okay. So we have a resolution for that?
Yes.
Oh, is it up there? Okay. You want to read it, Phil?
Yeah, Phil.
I'd be happy to. Resolved. ANC 1D agrees to reimburse commissioners up to $100 per calendar year to pay for the printing of ANC 1D business cards that bear their name. Reimbursement will be made under normal ANC rules.
Hearing it second, do I have any questions? Seeing none, hearing none, can I get a vote? All those in favor? 6-0 in favor. Okay, so $100. Now let me see, what do I want my card to look like? Okay. Now we're doing. Okay. You wanted to go to the next one
well,
here.
If the commission would, and we have been requested by DDOT to respond to their proposal for bike lanes on Adams Miller Road. I hope we could just deal with that quickly because that's something that really has to be done now.
We'll, Adams Miller Road. We have that.
I second.
So I'll be permitted to bring this up at this time?
Sure.
Okay. Resolve that ANC 1D endorses the proposal for bicycle lanes on Adams Miller Road as shown in drawings provided by Mr. Ali Akahi of DDOT on April 14, 2009. And there's a lengthy rationale, which I would like not to read. I think we all agree that bike lanes are good to have where we can have them.
Mm-hmm. I get a second.
I have seconded it.
Discussion?
Do you wish to see these drawings
now
at this time?
See them. Discussion?
I go to all this trouble and nobody wants to see them.
Okay, put the drawings up.
See, this is why we need a faster computer.
Can you rotate?
Okay, this shows Adams Miller Road. This is the portion, Adams Miller Road intersecting with Kenyon Street, Irving Street, and continuing Adams Miller Road. And what DDOT is now proposing is that there be bike lanes on both sides of Adams Miller Road. And the bike lane going straight continues onto Irving Street where there's already a bike lane. On Adams Miller Road, it goes on down the hill. There's also a bike lane up the hill. The only issue here, initially they proposed to put a sidewalk on this side of the street. On that, it's the zoo side of the road. But that sidewalk, there's already a partial sidewalk there, really doesn't work very well because there's no sidewalk when you get up here to Adams Miller Road proper. So anybody coming up here has to cross the street anyway. And it makes sense to have pedestrians cross the street, use a sidewalk on the other side of Adams Miller Road, and then that allows this area to be used for a bike lane. That's the only trade-off I know of involved in this concept.
Okay, well this seems Craig?
Well, it's something that we've talked about for a long time. Phil was president at our Trans Summit, where this was discussed, and I think at that point the idea was that we would recommend bike lane up Lamont Street. Now, that's going to be discussed later. The reason that I find the one going down is that it would then probably go up Harvard Street, which is 120 feet ascent in two blocks, which maybe Phil and Jack have the youth and vitality to do, but an awful lot of people do not.
Perhaps people might be going to the zoo.
Oh, you're right.
Well, let me point out that the bike lane going down the hill there also goes to the zoo and provides bicycle access to the bike path through Rock Creek Park. Is something I do very, very frequently. So I want to point out that these bike lane concepts are not mutually exclusive. We're not saying that because we'll have bike lanes here, therefore we cannot have bike lanes somewhere else. The only issue here is, are bike lanes here a good idea? And I think they are.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, hearing none, can we get a vote? All those in favor? 6-0 in favor. All righty. Okay. Are we jumping around again? Is something else you want to do, or are we going to take the Kilbourne Alley gate?
I would like to get that out of the way.
Okay.
It's because it...
Okay, you don't have to give us the reason, Chief. But read the resolution.
Resolved, ANC1D advises the DC Public Space Committee that its answers to 1D's resolution on the Langstall-Sittimer Gate has not satisfied, does not satisfy requirements of DC's ANC law and thus should be reconsidered.
Second. Discussion? Jack?
Yeah, let Dave go first.
Dave?
To understand this, you would need to at least give a summary of what the resolution, what the answer was.
I did distribute it when it came out.
No. I mean, for someone looking at this resolution.
Okay, right now. First, a little bit of history is that that when Jack and I went to the Public Space Committee meeting, we were told that all we would get as an answer to our resolution was the vote. I testified before Jim Graham's committee, saying that, as did Brian Weaver, the chair of 1C, saying that their behavior was reprehensible and that they ought to change it. And I think the council member wrote me a note saying that he was going to take care of it. So we got this. Now, unfortunately, the main reason for denying the gate was that it could swing open and block the sidewalk.
Well, could we just put in that they denied it? That's the point I'm making. Is it in there, in your resolution?
No, but I accept friendly amendments. I'd frankly forgotten about it and did not provide a lot more detail, and I'm sorry for that. The original idea that we testified about was that it's very easy to include a spring load on the gate, and thus it would not block the sidewalk. So, and this was discussed extensively, as well as all the other issues. And essentially what Karina Ricks did was to ignore our discussion and just write something very quickly that was counter to the facts of the case.
Are all the commissioners clear on what this resolution is about? Jack?
Let me point out, my interpretation of what the Public Space Committee decided was different from yours. I interpreted their decision is based primarily on not wanting to establish a principle of closing alleys without an alley closing. So that was I saw that as their principal reason for denying the permit. More to the point, in my years of being secretary of this ANC, this is the most extensive response to a resolution I've ever seen from any agency. I have never seen before. I mean, usually they just blow us off without any response. Once in a while, they will give us a two-sentence explanation of why they reject our advice. This is the first time somebody has actually gone to the trouble of addressing all of the points in our resolution. And I don't think they should be punished for that. I think it's a mistake at this point to say, even though you did a whole lot better than anybody's ever done before, we're not satisfied. I think we should say, this is a good start, and on a perhaps on a more critical issue in the future, request more. In particular, on this resolution, there's no explanation given of why that response is unsatisfactory. It's not explained why it doesn't meet the law, and it doesn't explain why it doesn't meet our needs. So I really think this is just a mistake that we should accept with good grace their effort and wait to fight this battle on another issue. I'm not going to support this resolution.
Greg?
I, of course, disagree with this because we have the wind behind us now because they were forced by their oversight committee, I think, to do this. And I agree we should commend them for this. But in the interest of time, and because I failed to get back and go through point by point and give the particulars, which I would expect of any of other commissioners to do so, I would like to ask the commission to allow me to withdraw this resolution at this time and let David Sittimer and his companion fight this out on their own in 2 weeks.
Admirable strategy.
Okay. Resolution is withdrawn at this time. And we're moving on. Resolution supporting statehood for the people of the District of Columbia. Dave?
This is the one we moved to public discussion.
May I translate that as a move to table? And may I second that?
Well, can you first have the resolution read?
I thought it was already done.
Formalities.
Bill?
Point of order. If the resolution hasn't been offered, I don't see why it needs to be read or withdrawn.
Good point.
Okay. Well, I'm just totally lost.
So the sponsor of the resolution is saying he's ready to just set this aside and we'll take it up at the public discussion meeting. Wonderful.
Okay.
There are a couple of other resolutions.
Okay. Are they on this agenda that's in front of me?
How about principal stewardship? Is that also going to be part of the?
Okay, same thing. Okay.
We're gonna take up both of those in the public discussion.
Okay. Are we doing the new mural for Hella's Bakery?
Okay, if I may. Resolve that ANC1D advises the District of Columbia Commission on the Arts and Humanities to support the undertaking by Mount Pleasant President Byron Peck for an improved mural for the wall of the Heller's Bakery building, 3221 Mount Pleasant Street Northwest. This is not an endorsement of any final artwork design, but of the general idea of a new mural at this location. Why? The old circa 1922 advertising mural has been degraded by age, vandalism, and unsuccessful attempts at restoration. A new mural would brighten the appearance of Mount Pleasant Street and could celebrate the diversity of modern Mount Pleasant. Mr. Peck has an unmatched record for fine inner city murals, and this is an opportunity for the Mount Pleasant commercialship to benefit from his talents.
Okay. Can I get a second?
Second.
Discussion? Dave.
Stemming from Faye's discussion earlier, I would like to see a restoration of the original mural.
Phil?
Commissioner McKay, I asked a question in the public Google Groups forum about whether Mr. Peck was actually seeking an endorsement or was trying to start an informal conversation, and I think Commissioner Edwards has used that phrase several times, also indicating that before voting for this, I'd like to see a letter of endorsement from the building's owner and the business operators. Unfortunately, I've been quite busy since I wrote that. Has there been a reply of any kind from Mr. Peck?
No, there is not.
Greg?
I support the idea that the fine arts staff, that Aaron Peck, and by the way, Phil never addressed me as a minister. That's a personal insult to me, please.
I'm sorry, I thought I said commissioner.
Okay. I'd like to see a follow-up their suggestion that this represent a forward direction for Mount Pleasant, and we be open to ideas and creativity in the thing. And so that I would like, as a friendly amendment, to suggest that we add to it a request of the Committee of the Whole in their consideration of the of their markup of for their current bill on the Office of Planning, that they include a statement that signs need not be historically accurate.
Okay.
That was a request for a friendly amendment to Jack's resolution.
But exactly what was that? What exactly is the amendment?
Unfortunately, I'm not going to accept that as a friendly amendment because it deviates too far from the point of this resolution, which is not addressed to the committee of the whole. It is just addressed to basically support Byron when he goes before this Commission on Arts and Humanities. I would offer to add a statement that we do not wish to preclude the possibility of a restoration rather than a new mural, if that would be appropriate.
I think so. Dave, you have a comment to that?
Well, I think that would pacify our historic preservationist in the area.
Okay. You, Greg?
I'm sorry that you have to respond to me with such exasperation. I think I have a right to speak, too.
You do have a right to speak, Commissioner, and I resent the fact that you say that I resent acknowledging you, and that's not true, and I want that on the record.
Okay.
I'm just trying to move things along so we'll have more room for those last-minute resolutions that you have.
I thank you for the explanation. I misinterpreted your signal. I think that that we don't want to embed Mount Pleasant in the aspic of historical accuracy. That is not the intent of the historic preservation law. It is that it is open to continuing renewal based upon functionality. And the functionality of a mural is to represent the spirit of the times. It was an advertisement to begin with and was a significant feature. And so I think the historic preservation law in this interpretation would open it to continuing reinterpretation. And I would hope that we could forestall the attempt by the Historic Preservation Board to further foreclose the future of Mount Pleasant. So I strongly urge that we not allow ourselves to be dragged further back to the past.
Jack, did you include it? Because I can't see it clear. Did you include the...
Well, I added this sentence. While supporting this effort, the ANC does not wish to preclude the possibility of a restoration. I think everybody could tell I'm in agreement with Greg. I would like to see something bright and new rather than the old cake thing. But I'm not ready at this point to decide that. I would like to have everybody involved have a much more discussion, have a community discussion, before we decide what's the best route.
The regional didn't have a cake.
I didn't notice. No, I wasn't
So I've essentially asked Jack to, as my friendly amendment, to remove that sentence.
Phil?
Commissioner McKay, I plan to... I mean, I'm not exactly sure what the procedure here is, but I would plan to offer a motion to table this until our next meeting, and Mr. Peck could furnish those letters that I have asked for.
I appreciate that concern, but I believe Byron is in need of this resolution. He wants it in hand when he goes before the commission. So while I will press him for a response, I do not wish to see this tabled at this time.
Let me propose... We have a motion and a second to amend on the floor.
Meaning the...
So we have to deal with the motion to amend.
Exactly. I mean, the motion to amend meaning the...
There's a motion to table, which takes precedence.
I believe the discussion period is still open for the motion to table.
Well, I think you made it and it was seconded. Therefore, it has precedence.
And we did not have discussion on that. The motion was made and it was seconded, but there was no discussion on that. So is there discussion on tabling?
I think I just discussed my opinion that no, I don't want to table.
Right, okay. No other discussion on tabling?
I will oppose the motion to table.
Okay, so.
Let's take a vote on the motion to table.
All those who are in favor of tabling? Commissioner Lepanto and Bosselman. All those not in favor of tabling? Oliver Edwards and McKay and Scott do not want this tabled.
Okay, now I would propose that we take a vote on this additional sentence, which seems to be somewhat controversial, about the alternative of restoring the original as opposed to a new mural.
I second that motion.
Okay, taking it as a friendly amendment, let me just offer this as an amendment to be subject to vote, to add this sentence concerning the restoration.
Okay, it's been presented in second discussion. No discussion. All those in favor of...
What sentence are we talking about?
The sentence I added. While supporting this effort, the ANC does not wish to preclude the possibility of a restoration.
So we're voting right now on the amendment to the bill that we have not passed. Is that correct?
This is being taken as... Instead of a friendly amendment, we're simply added. It's being taken as a formal amendment, which requires then a vote.
Is it not correct that the amendment must be passed, or the resolution must be passed before amendments can be made?
No, the opposite.
Okay. All those in favor of the resolution as it reads?
No, beg pardon. We're just voting in concerning the last sentence, the addition of the sentence concerning restoration.
Okay. All those in favor of the last sentence alone? To be added to the resolution. All those in favor? 4, all those not? Okay, so it's 4-2. 4 has it in favor of accepting it.
And let us note that Greg and I are the opposing votes. That means that it stands. Now we can proceed to consideration of the resolution.
Okay.
Including the sentence concerning restoration.
For the record, Jack, will you read the complete resolution?
Resolved that ANC Lindy advises the District of Columbia Commission on the Arts and Humanities to support the undertaking by Mount Pleasant resident Byron Peck for an improved mural for the wall of the Heller's Bakery Building, 3221 Mount Pleasant Street Northwest. This is not an endorsement of any final artwork design, but of the general idea of a new mural at this location. While supporting this effort, the ANC does not wish to preclude the possibility of a restoration.
Okay. Can I get a second? Discussion? Seeing none and hearing none. All those in favor of the resolution as it reads? 1, 2, 4. Okay, we have 4. Those opposed? We have 2.
Greg and Phil opposed.
Greg and Phil opposed. Okay.
Other
carries.
I suspect we're getting recent.
Okay. Greg, you have other resolutions? Because all that's on my list.
Jack, would you pull them up?
And the time is 8:19 p.m.
I think the most important one is probably 3.
I'm sorry, before we get to this, we need to consider, of course we don't want to have another meeting, but maybe we can consider a half an hour prior to the informal meeting to address the issues that Commissioner Phil wants to do. Just something I wanted to put out there. Don't have to worry about it. But we can email and decide, I guess.
Resolved, ANC1D advises the DC Council, and specifically Ward 1 Councilmember Graham, and the Committee on Public Libraries, Parks, and Recreation, Mayor Finty, DCPL, and its board to follow the recommendations that emerged from a series of ward-wide meetings on next steps in providing library services. 1, to abandon any consideration of expansion or additions to the existing Mount Pleasant Library, except possibly to accommodate mechanical upgrades. 2, to restore and renovate the library within the existing walls. 3, to examine the question of where else in Ward 1 library services are needed and might be located. 4, to consider alternative design concepts that might meet the needs of Ward 1. It is the intent of the Commission that points 1 and 2 occur simultaneously with points 3 and 4. 1D asks that the current budget before the DC Council be amended to enforce the delay in study. Why? The previous resolution was essentially the same content. Would you change that for me? Was addressed to the library board. They did not respond except to not bother to discuss it seriously. Now the last chance is upon us to ask the DC government to intervene.
Okay, we have a second discussion. Phil?
First of all, I'd like to say that the numbered bullet points are beautifully typed. Secondly, I voted against this resolution at our meeting that Jim Graham so eloquently and well done facilitated. I plan to vote against it again.
Dave?
In the last few meetings I've been at about the library, I find that most of the people have moved beyond asking that no additions be made to the library, that quite a few of them are satisfied with most of the new design, with the additions in the back, with the exceptions of a few items. So I think this is history.
Greg.
I continue to hear from my neighbors that this is will impact the lives of large numbers of people that in the apartment buildings immediately to the rear of the building. While it does remove it from the Mount Pleasant Condo Association, there are large numbers of renters from this. The approaches that they're proposing will be a substantial nuisance. And I think it would be unseemly for us to be energized by one group of concerns and not by a far larger number of people.
I met with Marconi yesterday, and they seem to feel that if the ramp were not there, they would be fairly happy with this. It only abuts the existing property fence about 15 or 20 feet in the back.
16 feet is the estimate I got today, and that's fairly close.
further discussion? Ready for the vote. All those in favor of this resolution? McKay, Scott, Tunda, and Edwards in favor. All those opposed? Lepato and Bosserman opposed.
Now I'd like to move to the... Oh, excuse me. Phil and Dave. Phil and Dave said no.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll just stay with first names. Okay. Phil and Dave.
We had a discussion several years ago, and this was the style we adopted.
I just do it to practice so I can remember.
This is a one that I've gotten a lot of calls and on the street encounters about. So it is resolved. ANC1D advises the D.C. Department of Transportation to remove or not install the Washington Standard streetlights in the reconstruction of a 1600 Park Road Northwest.
That one. Okay, I'll second. Discussion? Dave?
Most of my discussion is in the why. If we have a why, it should be fairly accurate and to the point. Number one, they are not in the middle of the sidewalks. They begin almost in the middle, but they certainly aren't in the middle of the sidewalks. They're about 2 feet from the street, and they're about 3+ feet from the property edge. And they are about 2 feet in diameter.
Friendly amendments will be accepted.
My next question is, if we take all the streetlights out, won't that get in the way of regulations about street lighting, that we should have some?
This is not removal of all the streetlights. It's only because they're keeping the cobras that are already there. And the issue of what to do about the streetlights there was part of a discussion that I had with Kathleen Penning, the associate director, that once money is available, we will go in and redo the street, because we are sort of, they're mopping up the available funds that were.
So why don't you add in there to keep the cobra lights and not install the new ones?
I accept that as a friendly amendment. Jack, would you help with language? And on the issue of the not exactly the middle, would about the middle be?
Well, it's not about the middle. There's 3 feet between the base of the light and the property. And then there is about just a little bit less than 2 feet between the base of the light and the street. So it can't be construed to be in the middle.
Well, the base overlaps the center line of the sidewall.
It actually touches the center line.
Okay, abuts it.
Oliver?
Yeah, I would like to know what this standard street, what the Washington standard lights look like.
They are old-timey, metal stands with a fluted pillar, and then it has a glass globe, except that it is a trunk. It is a section of a cone.
So how different are they from the other lights?
These lights shine light mostly horizontally, and the current lights, the cobra lights, which this would keep, shines the light from down on the street and the sidewalk.
Are these the lights that are on the black post?
Yes.
These are the ones you don't want?
Yes, that's what the residents of the street tell me.
Chat.
The Washington uprights were designated the standard for historic districts. For that reason, they offer that old-fashioned appearance. And that's what you see along the rest of Park Road. I'm a little startled at this statement that there will be a mix of cobras and Washington uprights on this block. Is that correct? They're going to keep the cobras?
Apparently so. And I talked with the engineer, and he said that they have trouble providing the illumination that is required with even this many Washington standards.
Dave?
I have two suggestions that might strengthen this. The first is to replace nuisance with obstacle, a series of obstacles that impede pedestrians.
Agreed. Would you please make the change, Dave?
And the second is the cost of electricity, I think, is not to the point of obstacles in the street.
It could be made a separate point because it was one of the big concerns of Rosan, their street light specialist, who is very concerned about the rapidly escalating cost of these things.
Okay.
Jack?
Well, I'm surprised at that assertion that the Washington uprights somehow require more electricity than the cobras. That's something. That's what this says. Oh, are you talking about just the extra electricity to run these lights in addition to the cobras?
Yes.
Then the question should be, why are they installing the Washington uprights when you've already got the cobras? I don't understand.
Their specialist told me that the whole thing is a mess and that he's struggling to get DDOT to hire an illumination engineer because this is a big concern all over the city. And he essentially welcomed this because he said he hoped that it would begin a reexamination.
Okay. We have somebody in the audience. Tariq wants to offer us some information on that.
Actually, I would say I don't have any direct information, but in order for the ANC to make a proper judgment, I can get a copy of the plans.
This is Tariq Bolden.
I'm sorry, this is Tariq Bolden from the DC Office of Planning. I can get a copy of the plans for you to look at the exact plans and to see exactly where the things are laid out. And as far as the information that is there, just, you know, so if there's some question about whether or not the cobras are going to remain, that would be news to me as well. I'm pretty aware of the plan, and I didn't hear anything about the cobras remaining either. So if there is any question, if there is some thought that you would like to get further clarification, I volunteer to be able to call DDOT, talk to my counterparts, and get you some actual documentation of exactly what's going to be there, and that is to help you make a decision, if that's something you would be interested in.
They distributed the plans to us before, and but they are continually making field adjustments as they go, and so we have another example that I did not put in today, even though it's in Phil's district, of a bump out that will restrict things. And I'm told that this is the time to do it. If we don't respond now, well, then we will be stuck.
I'm just offering just the opportunity. I can get you the latest information as soon as possible, if that's what you want to do.
I'd like to see it. Phil?
Well, then that decision is to...
Excuse me, I believe the chair is giving me the floor. I mean, certainly, I appreciate all the hard work that Commissioner Edwards has done, Commissioner Gregg has done on the...
Why don't you just say Gregg? Is it going to hurt you?
Is it going to hurt you to be collegiate and let him finish talking?
All the work that he's done on Park Road, I think that he put in a lot of effort to expand the sidewalks, and it is a noticeable improvement. I have had several of my constituents remark on it, so I want to make sure that proper due is given. I certainly think it would be ludicrous to have what sounds like double the number of lights that would be normal for any given street. It certainly makes sense that they would take out one set of lights rather than have two different sets of lights. So I think that having the latest plans would be helpful. I'll stop talking.
Dave?
If we do want to go ahead with this, I would suggest putting in maintaining the cobras while you take the other ones out.
Agreed. Would you write that in as a friendly amendment? Thank you. That's a far better wording. Because in my mind, what I've been asked to have is to keep the cobras for the moment. We'll continue to design something new, but take out these obstacles.
Okay. We got the correct wording now. The resolution,
ma'am.
The part... Jack.
I have some background in this, having served on the DDOT streetlight committee some time ago. Learned a lot about streetlights. This notion of mixing cobras and Washington uprights is startling. I do understand the ASHTO requirements for illuminance on roadbeds, which is why the people on Urban Street who wanted uprights couldn't get them, because only the cobras could extend the light out far enough out over the pavement. I think we need to find out better what is going on. I really appreciate Tariq's offer to find out what's really going on, and I move to table this until the next business meeting after we've heard from Tariq Bolton.
Get a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
Yes, I oppose that because I think that even if the cobras would be removed in this installation, the problems that people have with it and the nuisances that it provides are sufficient unto themselves. And so the issue of whether there's a mixture or not is really beside the point.
Any further discussion? Okay. All those in favor on, wait a minute. All those in favor of the motion to table. Oliver, Jack, and Phil in favor of table. All those opposed? Okay, so what do we do now? We got 3-3.
It fails.
Okay.
It takes a majority to win.
Oh, it's been so long since we had that. Okay, so where are we now?
Call the main motion.
Okay, we're voting on the main motion now. All those in favor of the motion as it reads? Oliver, Greg, Stormy, and Dave accept the motion as it reads. Those opposed? Jack and Phil. Well, okay.
There's a last one.
There's a last one? Wow, and it's not even 8:45. You guys are rolling tonight.
May I resolve, ANC1D advises the DC Council and specifically the Committee on Public Services and Consumer Affairs to empower the Public Service Commission, PSC, to impose fines for misbehavior by public utilities under regulation. In particular, the duty to impose fines sufficient to pay treble damages, including attorney fees, to consumers that are the victims of such misbehavior. Such power should be granted as an emergency basis in the current budget process and then expanded and clarified as separate legislation and a follow-on for this purpose.
I hear a second. I have no second. Okay, I'll second it for the purpose of discussion.
Thank you.
Dave.
I was trying to figure out what this meant. There's some kind of evildoer misbehaving here, and we don't know what it is.
I spoke with Herb Jones, the director of the division for consumer relations of the Office of People's Counsel, and he reported that there is a huge problem all across the city, of particularly Pepco, but there have been cases in most of the other utilities, overcharging, abusing their relationship, and this is already a major issue. At the Always Mount Pleasant meeting 2 Saturdays ago, you were there, Oliver, there was quite a few reports of for whole condos or for whole apartment buildings with individual meters where there are separate meters where they are getting this kind of overcharged, and some of them are, the rates are so high that it is disturbing the sense of being able to stay in the neighborhood. I spoke with Spencer McGuire, who is the clerk for the committee, and he said that they've heard about all this and they are supportive of the mayor's nominee who requested this power to deal with these ongoing issues. And the whole question is whether they can do so sooner or later. One of the concerns is that the lobbying power of the utilities is mounting to stop this ability. The statement from the Public Service Commission is that they are in a situation where they can rule on things, but they can't, because they can't give any fines. There is no consequence for any kind of misbehavior by the public utilities. The only power they have to deal with anything is increases in rates, and if they increase the rates for something other than the legislative purposes, well, then the utilities go to court, and that's rescinded. So without this power to fine the utilities for violations of the rules or for any kind of misbehavior, the Public Service Commission is powerless to protect us.
Dave.
Well, I still don't understand whether these overcharges by Pepco are intentional or a mistake.
They are so pervasive across even Mount Pleasant, but across the city, that it's hard to believe that they are. But there are plenty of other cases in which the utilities dig in the wrong places. They upearth. They dig up the streets. They don't follow the rules of the commission, and so they need a legislation to deal with this. And I was told that that our resolution would perhaps be critical in getting moving this along soon.
Any further discussion? Dave?
Yeah, what constitute these damages?
That would be determined by the commission. by the Public Service Commission. But if it appears to be a systematic program or an unsustained series of practices, well, then the commission can come in. There's also a procedure currently that I've actually used. It took about a year to go through a lot of the process and an immense amount of time, where you can formally appeal to the commission after going through informal hearings and so on. And then the commission can only rule restitution of the mischarge on your bill. And so because the situation is so onerous, because the attorneys for the Public Service Commission, for the utilities, in what is like a court hearing, can draw the thing out, very few people actually go all the way through. So certainly not ordinary consumers.
One more.
Well, if we are accusing utilities, in particular Pepco, of misbehaving, I think that would be a legal problem, perhaps, and I don't know if we have the evidence to actually accuse them of misbehaving.
The resolution does not do that. So the conditional part of your statement does not hold.
Jack?
It says to impose fines for misbehavior, victims of such misbehavior.
Yes, it simply... It does not make any current accusations, but it simply is fulfilling the sense of many of the utility activists across the city that this is an exploitation of a loophole, and that should be closed.
Jack?
My problem with this one is that I just don't know enough about this. And I am uncomfortable on voting on such a resolution when I really haven't done any background investigation into it. You know, this is essentially the first time we've seen this resolution. So I think we need to set this aside and investigate it a little bit further before we take such an action. And I move that we table this until the next business meeting.
Can I get a second?
Second.
Okay, all those in favor of tabling this to the next meeting? McKay, Bossaman, Scott, and Tunda. Okay, Jack, Dave, Stormy, and Oliver vote to table.
Thank you.
Those opposed, Greg and Phil. I tell you, Phil been partying with everybody today. Okay, are there any further resolutions? No further resolutions, any further business?
I move adjournment.
Oh, I second that. All those in favor? This ANC 1D stands adjourned at 8:46 p.m.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks again, Jack. We weren't able to contact Bill.
What?
You were not able to contact Bill?
I didn't drive. I didn't drive.
I was going around in circles today.
You were what?
Going around in circles today. I had some that happened. Okay. Sorry that I distracted you.
I mean, at some point, I just don't know what their relationship with Bill is. I wouldn't mind having him there. I don't know.
Well, I hope we can have a meeting to discuss some of the issues regarding staffing. I don't want a major review.
Just call me. Just call me.
Well, I mean, to me, yeah, the pressure is going to be the whole thing.
That's true.
We have been, before we came on board, there were a huge amount of people who were going to I'm looking for evidence and arguments for changes in constructive suggestions rather than just opening up with that. As I argue, we have too many evidence. It's a secret. And the commission has relatively little time. And so this, it's not that this is my level, it's impossible. It's what it knocks out. Four of us have a good working relationship.
Jack.